All right, everyone, we are live. This is Inside City Limits. We are here with myself, Cole Sutton. I'm joined by Jack and Mike Pinkley and my friend Trevor Holloway. We are here to recap the first win of the 2020 season for the All Caps, a 3-0 win over the reigning champs in L.A. We are going to kind of get into who we liked, who we didn't like, you know, standout performances. But I guess, fellas, what we can do first is talk about the lineup that we got an hour before kickoff. It was another interesting formation from Olaf. We went with five at the back, it looked like, according to the broadcast. Did we expect to go so deep with the five at the back instead of the 3-4-1-2 or the 3-4-3? Did we like it? I know that the scoreline flattered us, but it's just so different from Carnell compared to Olaf with the different tactics.
I like the lineup. This is the first time this season I kind of had like no qualms when it was released. The five of the back looked good. Even it was pretty much the same players as the first three games. And then up top is where it stood out to me. You had, you know, your three or four top players all playing up there, and it paid off if you look at the final scoreline.
Yeah, pretty much the same, just like a variation of the same 11 that he's coming on, except for we had Durkin get his first start of the season, and I thought he was a massive improvement over Watts this week.
As well, because that was the one spot that I was kind of worried about, was those first two games with Watts paired with Leuven in the midfield. I mentioned it in the kind of trial episode that we did that we didn't end up releasing, but I liked Watts' speed in that midfield role. But defensively, I mean, our back five or three, however you want to describe it, was standing on its head. But I was a little worried about the central midfield. And Durkin just gives Leuven and Hartle so much more opportunity to get up the field and to get a little more into the attack, because they know, you know, they have kind of that lockdown defensive mid behind them to kind of clean up after themselves.
Yeah, I agree. Watts definitely played himself into a couple. You know, he should be a regular in the lineup this year. He definitely played well enough to earn those spots. But Durkin, like you said, letting Leuven be up more and be more attacking focused instead of having to anchor the midfield and defend. You know, you talk about Hartel getting involved. I would have liked to see more from Wallum getting up there and Totlin. I know Wallum probably had his hands full with Peck, but I just felt like that whole left side of the defense was kind of really weak this match day.
Yeah, I know that you saw Leuven start over on that side, and he really had to drop back. I can't remember exactly which attack it was, but Peck got behind Horn and Wallum. Leuven had to step in the same, and you just saw him just screaming your horn, telling him that he's got to be better than that. But, you know, thankfully we've got Berkey back there for a reason. So, you know, those people that get through, and we've got a brick wall and goal. No one's getting a goal on us so far.
Berkey staying on his head. I mean, something about St. Louis goaltenders lately, it's amazing to watch. He looked like he did the inaugural season, like no matter what L.A. threw at him. You know, 23 shot attempts, 8 on target, a couple just point blank range. And he stood on his head. He's a brick wall back there. And the defense didn't look as good as they did the first two games, but they did good enough. And with Berkey back there, another clean sheet, 3-0 victory over the reigning champs. You love to see it. Now you go home with some momentum.
Got to get this man an extension. Got to get him signed. Give him a lifetime Walter Payton contract.
At least 2 years would be great. Yes.
At least. And Trevor mentioned the three straight shutouts. That was the first time in City history that it's been done. City is the fifth team in the past decade and the 11th in MLS history not to concede in the first three games. And they also, that was the end of the stat. But it's just crazy to hear that and think that three straight games to start the season with a shutout is that rare. But I mean, that's why he's the highest paid goalie in the league by a big margin.
First time we've done it in the long and storied City history, as we all know, yeah. All 3 years.
And if you tell me at the start of the season, hey, St. Louis City started with three straight shutouts, I would I'd be like, man, Berkey is playing out of his mind, I guess. This was really the first game that he actually had to step up and do something.
Yeah, correct for the last game. The first two games, what was it, like a combined four shots on goal?
I think it was one shot on target.
Well, I know
the
he had
first,
none.
The first two.
Yeah, the first game he had, it was none, right? Not a single shot on target. And then last game, how much? Two or three?
Two out of their 16 were on target.
Two out of their 16 were on target. Yeah, get some better shooters in San Diego.
What I really noticed with Berkey having to step up was, I don't know if it's because Berkey had to step up, but Kessler just didn't seem as involved, I guess I would say, this game as he has the past two games. You know, against San Diego, especially against Colorado, it was the defense ran through Kessler. And you know, no, Berkey never really had to get anything because Kessler was there to make sure that nothing even got to him. But this game, LA really seemed to be able to get behind our defense a lot more effectively than anybody else has before.
Yeah.
At least this season.
I agree. And I think that's mainly because of how they were, like how their offense was structured. It looked like they were going directly at the defensive line. And then as soon as it's that final pass, it wasn't over the top ball like at Kessler. They were cutting it back and getting their chances that way and trying to run off. Like, I think they must have scouted the first two games. They were trying to play away from Kessler. They were really attacking Hebert. They were really attacking Horn. They were going wide. Then they were cutting it back towards the middle, making Leuven and Durkin had to make quite a bit of tackles in the final third. And when they didn't, Berkey came up with the saves. But they were really trying to stay away from that right there deep center box. I think the back line was really, really deep at times. But like I said, Galaxy would try to slip that ball through or cut it back instead of just playing an over direct top, like a direct over the top ball that San Diego and Colorado were trying.
Gotta mention the luck too. That Royce shot that hit the post. I mean, that had my heart and my stomach when I saw that go through.
That's a save. That's a save.
Yeah, that was in.
They had a lot of chances like that. They had a lot of dangerous chances. Like, I remember
a lot of chances in close.
Cutting in, you know, sending it just wide of the back post. Like, he was very dangerous, and it felt like there was multiple times I watched him just dribble through three players, nearly get a shot off or get it off just wide. I really am surprised that they kept them off the score sheet, to be honest. I know Berkey was incredible, but they had a lot of chances.
I really think City benefited heavily from the long road trips that LA had to take. You know, they were in Vancouver last Sunday, all the way down in Costa Rica on was it Tuesday? And then having to go back to LA for this game on Sunday. And it kind of looked like they were a little tired. And, you know, like you said, Peck would get past everybody. But then I feel like you'd look up and he wouldn't have anyone in the middle of the field to get the ball to. So I think a big benefit for City from that. And I think what I really kind of noticed, and it's not something that we really saw in either of the first two games, was we looked really, really susceptible to the counter attack. You know, once we got all of our guys scored and lost the ball, it was kind of like they were off to the races, and we kept up, and Berkey kept up, but it definitely looked like they had plenty of dangerous scoring opportunities from counter attacks.
Olaf in the press game or in the post game presser was talking about the counterattack that they were susceptible to. And it wasn't as much, his thoughts on it was it wasn't as much as a formation issue. It was a bad ball that got turned over quickly. And that's why the possession looks the way it does. 70-30 is like, as soon as we got the ball and as soon as we did that good job of waiting and jumping on it, that next pass or the next two passes lacked the quality to keep it. And like, that's why you see the ball going the other way quickly. So that was his thoughts on it. And I think that's why you see it. Hopefully, you know, you start stringing passes together more consistently later in the season, and that doesn't happen. Like, the formation shouldn't be susceptible to counters, but LA definitely had some dangerous ones that almost got in behind.
I also think that's a consequence of we were definitely farther up the pitch pressing more this game, certainly than we did last week for San Diego. So just those, bad turnovers, they'll turn into counters real quick when everybody's so pushed forward. There was a couple times it was just Horn and Kessler back there.
Yeah, and you know, when you get Wallum and Tottenham up in the action like that, and just leave the three at the back, I can just really see how those counters can turn bad for you pretty quickly.
Since we're talking bad turnovers, I knew we were going to get to it at some point. We kind of talked about it before we started hitting record. Jack is a major, some would say too big of a Kyle Hebert supporter. And without that Berkey save, I can't remember when it was. I think it was like around the 35th minute-ish. Hebert just had an abysmal turn. I need to get Jack's opinion on.
I don't think I would ever use the word abysmal when I'm talking about Kyle Hebert in the year 2025.
Oh, brother.
Bad pass. I mean, it was a bad pass. And I think Kyle Hebert, of all people, would be the first person to admit it. I've never met the man, but I think he's a stand-up guy, you know. Attended Missouri State University, as we all know. Stand-up people come from there. But, you know, he made up for it. He had a great game. He had an assist at the end. I mean, I think overall, one bad pass. You know, everybody makes a bad pass or two. We saw Klaus Hartel, Leuven. They had some bad passes, some turnovers. But his was definitely the most glaring, considering it was in the middle of the pitch on the attacking side for L.A. But yeah, I think it was one mistake, and he made up for it tenfold.
I just wanted comment. That's all I wanted. Okay, we got that.
I actually think Totland covered better defensively on that right side this week than Hebert ended up doing. I know Hebert had a couple of pretty good defensive plays, but a lot of the times the word, like Cole was saying, they were trying to cut it back or cut it across. It was Totland cleaning those up and getting going on the other side. It wasn't Hebert.
I think the one thing we haven't seen from Hebert this year is he has not looked comfortable on the ball at all. And other than that one bad pass, I think he looked really, really comfortable on the ball. And I think he played pretty good defense. Now, he was against Marco Royce this time around, it felt like. So, maybe unfair advantage towards Kyle Hebert being up against a player of such quality. But I think overall, another outstanding game from Kyle Hebert. And another stepping stone in solidifying his spot in the MLS team of the season.
Okay. I would like to comment real quickly. Last year, we were kind of in that sweepstakes as rumors of getting Royce, and it'd be cool to get someone at that caliber with that history to come to St. Louis. But so far, I have not been impressed with this play. He's not dominating by any means, and the stats show that as well. Yes, he looked dangerous yesterday in a couple instances, and you can tell the quality he has with his touch, but it just doesn't seem like he is that difference maker for LA like some of their other guys are, like Peck. I don't know. I want to get your guys' thoughts. Like, do you kind of think we dodged a bullet there trying to put all that money into somebody who might not be able to make it the whole game? I know the commentators, Twelman was talking about his knee being taped up the whole time. Like, do you think he's just at the end of his career and he doesn't have any left to give?
I just, I would think that, you know, when the MLS gets these kind of players like a Marco Royce, a lot of people expect them to have the effect that, like, Messi or Zlatan had back when he joined the Galaxy. And I just don't know if he's that kind of player that's going to come in and score a bunch of goals and really just, you know, carry a whole team on his back. You know, I'm be the first to admit I didn't watch him a whole bunch at Dortmund, but from what I understand and what I've heard people talk about is he's more of a player that, you know, improves other players and really makes them better. And so we have an unused designated player spot. I'm not going to sit here and act like I wouldn't love for that to be Marco Royce. So I would just say he's had an effect in different areas, and I would have loved to have him on the team.
Did you guys see the video that I sent in the Discord of Royce on that toy shirt goal? I mean, he was literally just standing there and didn't move for the whole the ball was out of the goalie's possession. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, I think he's not 100%.
I don't know if you could put that goal on Royce, though, just because he's standing there. You know
no,
what I mean?
It's not. Like, it's just a bad visual.
Well, it's like getting caught jogging, but you know, at the end of the day, I just don't think he's that player that's going to take over the game, and that's what people really expect when MLS gets those stars from Europe. But I've just never seen him as that type of player.
I think on that video too, he did not expect his goalie to kind of botch it the way he did. That first goal was a mess. the goalie botched it. And one of my players to watch on our before the game was the goaltender for LA taking the spot of the one of someone who won them an MLS Cup, and he looked bad once again. Just looked like he lacked confidence.
He wasn't the goalie for the MLS Cup. That was McCarthy, who's been on the bench the whole time. I don't know what they're doing with that.
They said this was an upgrade at goaltender, and so far they've had issues all year coming into this match. And once again, he looks like he lacks confidence.
That, I mean, I know this isn't a
last year, but
it's not a Galaxy podcast, but they've got some issues to figure out. I mean, defending champs, haven't won a game this year, 0-4 in all comps. That's not exactly a dream start to the season.
In their Champions League, it was against a much lesser opponent too.
It was that Costa Rica, right?
Yeah, it's like it was the Costa Rican. It was the top league in Costa Rica. I already forgot the name of the team. It's just
It was Herediano.
They're the first reigning champ to go 0-3 in league play to start the season. So
hate to yikes.
You gotta take everything with a grain of salt for them though. They've got so many injury issues. They have a condensed schedule right now. You know, do we play them later in the season? Because that would be a much different game.
Once they really
opinion.
Settle in, they might they're going to be pretty dangerous with all the options they have. I know they get Paintsill back,
and Puig's out for a while though with the ACL.
Puig's out till I think towards the end of the season is when he's going to come back. But I think Paintsill is coming back next month.
I think his timeline is off.
They play them June 14th at Energizer Park. So Paintsill should be back for that. Puig will still be out.
Yeah, so that'll definitely be a different game. Yes,
100%. The only other thing I really had, I mean, we can get into, you know, the team of the match day award winners and stuff, but we got Hartle. He came on. He didn't do much. It was a late sub, but it was nice to at least see him get some minutes. I mean, to be honest, when he wasn't on the availability report, I thought that he would get the start over Hebert. I think that's a little bit of my own bias, but it was good to see him out there.
Hebert's played as well. Hebert will have to play his way off the field. He's played so well at the start of the season, and I know Olof seems to really like him. And I just, you know, if you don't give up a goal in three matches, I don't know why you'd even change the back five at this point, unless there's an injury.
I mean, at this point, I think it's Horn, who if he really wants to start Bumgarnel. I think it's for Horn.
I think we've got Kessler, and we've got Hebert, and then we've got Yarrow, Bumgarner, and Horn fighting for that third spot. But what I thought was really interesting, when they subbed Toichert off for Yarrow and they brought Yarrow back, they moved Hebert out to Wallum's side.
Yeah, and then he got an assist like minutes later. He actually
Hebert might be playing on the left a little bit too. Who's to say? But I thought he looked really well. Like Tripp said, he had the assist and all that, and I didn't think it was that bad of a position for him.
Yeah, I wasn't too impressed with Wallum this game either. He definitely felt like he just took a back seat and never really showed up for this match.
Overall, I just don't think through three games that I've really been that impressed with what he's brought. Or two games, I guess. He didn't really play in Colorado, but I don't know. Maybe I just expected a little too much or a little more, but he's been a little disappointing, and I sure would like to see him step up more into the Totlin role on the other half. I think that would make our offense so dynamic if we had two players like that.
Well, we obviously, you know, it was a great performance from Berkey. He and Toichert were on team of the match day. Berkey was the league-wide player of the match day. Like we said earlier, 8 saves, third straight clean sheet. You know, there was a lot of performances that kind of stood out to me positively and negatively. I just kind of wanted to see if you guys had any. I know we've talked a little bit about it, but was there anyone that we maybe haven't mentioned that you guys thought played really well?
You know what we haven't mentioned yet so far as it blows my mind? We scored 3 goals this game.
Three.
First 3 of the season. Hartel, Toichert, Boettcher. I mean,
Jack predicted it correctly.
Yeah, Jack had a 3-0 score. And
no Klaus.
I may have gotten the goal scores wrong. Klaus looks great.
That post, I needed that one to go in so bad.
I think this city of St. Louis needs a Klaus goal.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, as soon we as need he it at Watson, home. He goes on a run.
Man, if Klaus scores this week against Seattle, I cannot imagine how crazy Energizer Park's going to be. It's going to be insane in there.
If the weather's bad enough, Mike and I will be there.
Chase Mike uptown with the storm blowing in.
It's supposed to be storming.
We need that storm to blow in so I can get some $30 tickets.
First goal of the season. Definitely not the way they probably drew it up. The goalie blunder.
Not a pretty one, but all on the score sheet, it doesn't
matter. It's one of those things, they just need to see one go in. Tomlin should have had one right there at the end of the half, too. Header.
Yeah,
the Flying Dutchman routine. It worked. Tomlin just
hit They were amazing on their set pieces this week.
They had their first corner was a driven.
Hartelman scored.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes off that corner from
the also could have been a penalty because he got taken out right after he was right after he kicked that, he got taken out. Definitely I thought could have been a review. It wasn't too much there, but as you know, if that was anywhere else, if that wasn't in the box, I think that's a penalty. So it is what it is. But yeah, their set pieces looked really good. Just the training ground's working. Maybe that has a lot to do with the coaching staff. But, they're looking good on set pieces.
I love that they're at least trying different things, and I think that can go for at least for the first couple of games, like the lineup selection, the formation itself. They're not – they're up one game. They're laying back one game. It's not the same as the first 2 years with Carnell where they were just so strict on that system and wouldn't, take a risk here or there. It's so nice.
I feel like we played three games and we played three different types of offense. Colorado, absolutely, we played up the wing looking for crosses. San Diego, we didn't play offense.
Correct.
And then against LA, it was really up the middle. They weren't getting the ball out wide at all. They were working the ball up the middle and then working it in between Hartel, Twitchard, and Klaus.
That's the Leuven and Durkin effect, in my opinion. When you got people you know that can handle the ball up the midfield, there's no reason to go outside.
But yeah, it's just great that we've got a coach who's not going to play the same way every single game. I didn't catch the Philly score. Is it still working in Philly?
Yeah.
I think they might have won, but
good luck.
Like I said, it was just nice to see. It was nice to see a coach change and adapt to style.
Philly won 2-0.
They did win.
They are 3-0. Yeah.
They are top of the table in the East.
Top of the table in the MLS, right? I guess Vancouver's also 3-0. Those are the two undefeated teams right now.
City up to Philly. Sixth.
Yep, City up to sixth. And in the power rankings, the ESPN power rankings had them at 14th, which in my opinion is harsh. Very harsh, especially when you dominate Colorado. Yeah, 0-0 draw, but you dominate Colorado and you have Colorado above you. I think that's harsh.
I think my favorite stat is City has tied their away wins from last year. And we're only three games into the season.
Tough scene. Tough scene. I think I'd like to bring up their second goal a little bit. The amount of skill and quality on the ball for that second goal on the breakout, using all your players that you should depend on to score goals. Hartel with a great first touch. And it was like a jump touch. He was sprinting and he really extended out, touched the ball around the defender and then roofed it over the goalie. Great quality there. And that's what I want to see at least once a game. When you got people up there like Klaus, Toyshirt, Hartel, they should be using their quality to at least put one in the back of the net almost every game. There's no reason they shouldn't. So it gives me some confidence going forward. Leuven doesn't have to be involved in every goal. It doesn't have to be an assist or a goal from Leuven like it did that first year. Almost all of our goal scoring opportunities he was starting it. I'm fine with him sitting back a little bit if those three up there can start playing the way they did. And then maybe Leuven could even jump up when you have Durkin back. But I think that second goal, I just wanted to bring it up. It looked amazing. The quality was there. And hopefully we see that next Saturday against Seattle because you're going to need it.
You know what I wanted to get you guys' opinion on is it's three games. And we've seen all three combinations of our two striker set, Klaus and Betcher against Colorado, Betcher and Toichert against San Diego, and now Klaus and Toichert. Is there – I know this one maybe because we got three goals sticks out a little more, but I, for one, would love to see Clausen tortured every game. You guys have any differing opinions on that?
I like Boettcher coming off the bench. Like, it's almost like that Sam Adinerain role. When he comes in, and you got to give him some time, too. Don't bring him in the 85th. What good is that going to do? I think you start Toyshirt Klaus. I mean, obviously it worked because it's the only time we've scored a goal. But I like Boettcher coming in the 60th, 70th minute to give it that spark. So whichever, you know, if Toyshirt needs to come out, if Klaus needs to come out, that's fine. It's a long season. But I think this was for sure the starting 11 I would want to see. Like, I had no qualms. And with the two, with Klaus and Toyshirt up there, they just looked comfortable. Toyshirt should have had two. Klaus had one off the post, so they could have put away a couple more. And I think definitely going forward, this is the starting strikers I would like to see, with Boettcher coming in, you know, early in the second half.
I think that I agree. I don't know why, but I really love Boettcher as well. But I kind of go back and forth on Klaus, but I think that I'd rather see Klaus get a bit more runway and get some more minutes. And have Boettcher maybe come in for Toyshirt if one of them is, you know, very clearly not in rhythm with the other. But yeah, I agree. I think Boettcher is a very good spark off the bench. Kind of like what I think Celio could be, what I think Ostrak can be. I feel like we have more depth now, too, than ever before.
Are you guys worried about the lack of options, it seems, for to replace Hartel?
Not when Ostrak's healthy. I think Ostrak slots in there.
We haven't seen him yet, though. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, right, I'd like to see him.
But you're also, you know, he's getting paid to play those 90 minutes, and he seems fit. They were saying, Olaf said he wasn't even sure he's going to play this week. He said he had a stomach bug the day before, and then he comes in and he plays the whole 94 minutes. So I don't worry about him. Maybe when it starts to get around summer, hopefully Ostrak's back by then. You're going to have to give him some time off, because he can't keep doing what he's doing. But I would be worried now if he goes down, but hopefully in a month or two when Ostrak's healthy, I'm not worried, because I think Ostrak and Hartel have the similar skill set. Hartel's just has a little bit more quality, but Ostrak plays that position pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously you don't want to lose one of your best players, but I think this year more than either the first 2 years, that if we did, it wouldn't be as major of a loss as it would be in the past. Because I think we have, you know, some decent role players that can step up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember year one when we were rolling, then we lost Klaus, and it was like, you know, offense felt flat. We were still winning and playing great, but it was just kind of – it didn't feel the same. But I agree. We definitely got more depth and a lot more to give if someone were to get hurt, God forbid.
Yeah, we could always push Klaus up there too. You know, Morales has looked really good when he's came in that defensive midfield area. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Celio, I think Celio would work great up there. I know he likes to get out wide, but I think he would work great up there. Ostrak is probably the best option we have. He was on the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I'd love to get him in the 60th minute or some point in versus Seattle, see what he's got for this formation.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Morales much, but I think he does a really good job of moving the ball. He does a real good job of getting it from the defenders and distributing it out to the offense, and definitely has been underrated so far this season. He wasn't, like, nothing special yesterday either, but just he's got a quality passing skills, and he can really move the ball up the field.
Yeah, he's been great as a super sub off the bench, you know, playing those last 25, 30 minutes. He's been absolutely terrific, and I would love to see it as often as possible.
I saw, I think it was Matt Baker, who has his own pod, and he's always at training. He does a lot of notes, and I thought that I saw him say that Olaf is really into the numbers and, like, the data, and that's why he's been a little odd with, like, subbing Leuven off the first two games early, because he, like, almost thinks, like, you know, 20, 30 minutes of a fresh Morales defensively is better than, you know, another 20 or 30 from a weak Leuven. Like, I know that sounds like, yeah, no shit, but I think that he's, like, very in tune with the numbers and, like, subbing at the right time. I feel like it was a little early last week to park the bus or, you know, bring Yarrow in and go five at the back, but I don't know. It's interesting to say the least.
Well, think about last year, City in the last 20 minutes of the game you know, and it's not just Leuven being tired, but like they had a really tough time putting away games, whether it then turned draws into losses, you know, wins into draws. They really struggled on that final 30. So maybe that's why Olof is bringing these guys in the 60th minute, and you're seeing 65th minute. They haven't given up a goal, so I'm guessing it's working defensively, having those fresh legs in there. And then you saw Becher get that goal coming on late. Like, I can see it. And so far, it's worked. I'm not a fan of taking your best players out when it matters most. But, you know, if these guys are tired and you have options off the bench that are just as good, and then they are also coming in fresh, I like it.
Is there anything, I don't know, this is kind of a general question, but is there anything that going into Saturday at home, Seattle, is there anything that you guys would like to see more of? Or is there anything that, I don't know, you feel like is missing? I feel like the obvious answer was the goals, but we've kind of found some rhythm there. But I don't know. I just feel like it's too early to get a judgment on how this team's going to look.
Yeah, I think just having them settle in more with the tactics. I think they took a big step forward offensively, obviously, this week. But, just kind of settle in. It's a new coach for everybody. I know they've had the summer to prepare, but we've only had three games to see it in action, and playing the games is so much different than training. So just more time to settle into the tactics, especially offensively.
I'd like the defense to step back up like it did the first two games. I do not want to, while he's good and can definitely carry, I don't want to be relying on Berkey like we did all last year. They've already shown something that they can do. We rolled out the same starting back five, and it's just huge regression against probably a worse team because of the injuries attacking-wise than San Diego. But, yeah, I would like to see them get back up to the form they had the first 2 weeks.
I'd like to see a goal at City Park and just have that place going crazy. I know it's only going to be the second game, the first game, a 0-0 draw. But I'd like to see a ball go in, take a little bit of pressure off the boys, you know, get up and then really dig in, play that formation Olof wants to see him play. And I think that's the only thing I'd want to see. Maybe a Klaus goal besides that. Just some praying for one. I'm sure he's praying for one. Nobody needs it more than Klaus. Start getting him going, and it's going to be a fun season.
Man, I know he didn't score, but his ability to create space last game against LA was just so fun to watch him on the sideline, just beating players down the sideline and dribbling around him in the middle. It was a lot of fun. It'd be nice, like you said, it'd be nice to see him going.
That turn that he had, like right at the midline to
get
by,
against the
and
sideline.
He just played him down the line. I mean, I was like, oh my God. Because I feel like Klaus gets a lot of hate for not scoring. I've been one of the people who has kind of been wishy-washy on Klaus, but because it has been since like May of last year since he scored. But I think, like you said, Jack, or whoever said it, once he gets one, kind of build a little rhythm, and then I think he'll be able to thrive, especially with more minutes with Toyshirt and, you know, the new signings that we got in the window last year.
And I know possession's not a stat that people care about as much anymore, but I would like to see a little bit more than 30% progression. Like, for my anxiety, I would like us to have the ball a little bit more than 30% of the game. But hey, if they keep going in and we keep shutting people out, I will be fine having 30% possession. It's just so weird that it's a different style. We had possession numbers like that in our inaugural season. We won the West with, you know, 30%, 35% possession. But it was on that high press, looking for turnovers. This is where sitting back and just letting them get deep. And so far it's worked. So it's hard to complain about it, but it still just, it worries me. And we don't want to tire Berkey out, like Mike alluded to last year. Relying on him is fine sometimes, but we can't expect him to stand on his head all season through the summer with this 30% possession, letting him shoot in close inside the 6-yard box. So hopefully our possession gets a little bit better and just connecting passes. You know, the finishing was better this game, but that possession was just because some of our passes were just bad. They were just throwing the ball away right back to the other team. And it just, you tire out quicker when you're defending. So I'd like to see a little bit better possession, better passing. And then if they can do that, they can beat a good Seattle team.
Just to build off the possession thing, though, And you mentioned the last 2 years under Carnell, we were always at that 30%. Doesn't it feel like a different 30%? Like, I know the last couple games when they throw that stat up at the end, we're like, 30, that seems so low, 30%. And it's such a different play style that I think that, I don't know, we get the ball and we go, as opposed to with Carnell, we were trying to, you know, create turnovers in those dangerous spaces, and that's why we got the 30%. It's just, if the 30% possession feels different this year.
I agree. It does feel different, and I think it feels safer because we're playing that five at the back. When we lose the ball, we already have people back, except a couple. Like, they hit us on a counter a couple times this time. But, like, when we lost the ball with Carnell, I mean, the team's going the other way full speed. And then we have to recover, and then they're still possessing. That's why it feels different. It felt bad to where this one, even though we aren't possessing as much, at least feels a little bit safer because we have so many people behind the ball defensively, and that's just part of the tactics.
Yeah, I feel like if you, they had 70% possession, but if you break it down, I feel like more than 40% of their possession was in their own half. So that's where I really feel like it's 70-30, but, you know, if you break it down to which half the ball is in percentage, I feel like we would have, it would have been in our attacking half way more than theirs.
Trevor kind of talked about the passing. When I was looking at the numbers afterwards, one of the stats that stood out to me was that LA completed 787 total passes compared to our 314. I mean, that's insane.
I think that's a consequence of, like I said, when we get those turnovers, like the few times that Totland just straight up stole the ball from them, we're off to the races. You know, we're not passing around the back and building up. We get that ball and we're going. And I would prefer that as opposed to just, you know, passing around the back trying to let something open up. I prefer the just get it and go mentality that we've been rolling with.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, obviously it's nice to score a goal, but even if, you know, we would have scored 1-0 and barely gotten by, I think that game would have, you know, we still would have felt a certain way. But to see 3 hit the net, and I mean, I know LA had a lot of chances, but the defense, you know, again, keeping a clean sheet. I think that the fans really needed to see this kind of game. I think the players needed it. And I think coming home Saturday, I think the atmosphere, despite the weather, is still going to be good. And I think kind of, you know, get on a little bit of a run here.
It definitely feels like a buy-in game.
Got to take this momentum and run.
Everybody's going to be buying in to this mentality now after that 3-0 win.
And, you know, we get another team right off of a CONCACAF Champions Cup game. I think Seattle's got to go to Mexico this week. So, nice schedule for St. Louis here at the start.
The next two games will be huge because then Philly afterwards, Carnell coming back, and Philly's at the top of the East. It's a big 2 weeks here. They need to play better than they have the first 3 games. I like where they're at. You know, they point from every game so far. Let's keep it rolling.
Kyle Hubert team of the season.
Jack specifically requested that the name of this episode be Kyle Hubert team of the season.
They'd be like, man, he must have scored 2 goals this game. Kyle Hubert. No, he had an assist and he looked good, but we'll go with it.
Looked great. Probably one of the better defenders we had.
I think this was his worst game so far. And that's been a lot because he did play really well today.
He played
really well yesterday. He played good, but I do think it was his worst performance of the season.
And that's good. I mean, what was it? A 7-8 on the player ratings? 7-8 is your worst performance. That's nothing to shy away from. You know, that's, dare I say, a team of the season worthy.
7-8. Dare I say. 3. Hartel with an 8-5. Leuven with an 8-3. Berkey with a 9-1 to point out.
9-1.
7-8. The only one low would be Wallum had a 6-8. Other than that, everybody's in the positives for the starter.
He disappeared. I can't think of a single moment that Wallum was a part of.
If he could work on his defensive skills, I think that Celio could come in and take that spot with how Wallum's played.
And the good thing is Celio's got speed. Like, I'm not saying Wallum's slow, but Celio can keep up with anybody. you know, if next time you play LA and Painsel's out there, even though Celio's not a defender, I mean, Celio could keep up with him. Right now, I don't think we have a left back or a right back, maybe Reed when he comes back, that could keep up with someone like Painsel out there on the wing. So that'd be interesting. It'll be interesting when Reed gets back to form to see who they have going and starting. And before we sign off, do you guys want to go through the points we have here for our season-long bet?
Yeah, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, Trevor? I would love to go
basically,
through
it. Basically, when we go through the next episode on Friday, we will give our match prediction, our score prediction, and then we will give our goal score. And you get a point if you correctly guess. And man of the match. If you correctly guess man of the match, you get a point. You correctly guess a goal score, you get a point, and so on. So Jack got a 3-0 victory. So he gets a point for that. And then he got the man of the match, Berkey, correct. He said Klaus would have a hat trick, but he said Berkey's getting man of the match, 3-0.
I think Berkey might still get man of the match.
It would be close. With how Berkey played, it would definitely be close. I think Klaus would have gotten the edge there, but it definitely would have been close. Mike got the goal scorer correct, right? You said Cedric Toyshirt?
I said Hartel.
Hartel. And then Cole, you said Toyshirt, correct?
He said Betcher.
I had Betcher.
Yeah, so no one said Toyshirt, and that's why I'm at the bottom with 0 points. Did not get the match prediction right. Goal scorer. Yeah, you guys get it. So
yeah, almost.
I didn't pick Alm. I picked Leuven. And I figured it was going to be a penalty, but nobody wants to fall down in the box for me. So Jack will lead 2 points.
I had 2-0 on that score prediction too. I
was close. Freaking Betcher, dude.
Betcher coming in.
Give me Joaquin Nielsen.
So Jack in the lead with 2 points, Mike with one, Cole with one, Trevor with less than that. So
less than that. And we're going to do some sort of punishment for whoever gets last that we haven't discussed. That will be something.
I figured whoever gets last, they just get booted off the pod. They'll have to start their own.
I have before we sign off, I've got one more thing. What do you guys think of renaming this the Kyle Hebert podcast?
No, that's cool though. Sign us off, cool.
The King Henry Kessler podcast.
I would do Kessler before Hebert. Both of them played good.
Also, Kessler's worst game, also 7-8.
Yeah, LA was staying away from them. They knew what to do. They stay away from the middle there.
I think Kessler actually could make the team of the season. I don't know.
I could see it.
Berkey, Hebert, and Kessler team of the season. That's quite the prediction.
I don't know. If Hebert goes on that left wing back role more, he might work his way into the team of the season. You never know.
About to have a gold card in FIFA next year.
All right, boys. Well, that's all we'll have for today. We will see you guys on Friday for the Seattle preview. And until then, thank you for listening if you've made it this long, and we will see you Friday morning.
See you.